Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Today's session comes from London, where the band Sons of Kemet is going to play some music from their latest album, Black to the Future. Now, in case you haven't heard Sons of Kemet on our show before, they're a quartet, a somewhat unusual quartet, led by sax player Shabaka Hutchings. He's one of the key players on London's new jazz scene, and including tuba player Theon Cross, who's also released his own music, and two drummers, Tom Skinner and Edward Wakili Hick. Their music incorporates elements of Caribbean music, hip-hop, echoes of dance and electronic music, and the new album features an array of spoken word artists and rappers, mostly from London. But the band can also play these songs as instrumentals, and that's what we'll hear now. This first song is called Hustle. It's Sons of Kemet.
Thank you.
That's a live performance by Sons of Kemet of the song called Hustle from their latest album, Black to the Future. That, of course, a live performance, rather a different one from what's on the record, although the musicians are the same, Shabaka Hutchings on sax, Theon Cross on tuba, and the dual and sometimes dueling drummers, Tom Skinner and Edward Wakili Hick. Shabaka Hutchings joining me once again. Great to see you, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Clearly, you're not trying to recreate the full sound of that song as it appears on the record because you don't have Koji Radical.
Yeah.
How do you make those sorts of decisions when you're writing a song? When do you know that you need to invite a rapper or a singer or a spoken word artist or a poet to come in and add something?
I know it the first time I hear them perform. You know, like as soon as I heard, really got into Koji Radical's music and understood the power both in the sound of his voice and actually what he says in his presence on stage, in his presence, what he brings to performance, I knew that he had to perform with us. It was just a matter of finding the right situation. And it happened live before it happened in the studio.
Really?
Yeah.
And was it the same? I mean, his text, that line in his text where he says, I go make nothing something.
Yeah.
To me, is one of the most powerful descriptions of the creative process that I have ever heard. He makes nothing something.
Yeah. And that's how he was in the studio. Like he came into the studio, and what he does is he listens to us jam around the tune for a long period of time. So he probably listened for about half an hour while just kind of writing some words, reciting some lyrics, and just getting into actually what we were doing. He didn't have like a pre-prepared sheet that he just read off. He really tried to figure out what was the essence of what we were doing in the moment.
Born from the mud with hustle inside me. Born from the mud with hustle inside me. Feeding my soul. I go make nothing something. Show you my love. I don't feel nothing, nothing. But all you for sure. Watch me go show you something, feeding my soul. I go make nothing something. Born from the mud with hustle inside me. Born from the mud with hustle inside me. Born from the mud.
I also had a conversation with him just before recording where he was saying, you know, I'm telling him that the idea for the tune is hustle and what it means to hustle within the community that maybe he kind of started up from. And he was saying it's difficult for him because obviously he's doing well with his music and he's not hustling and struggling in the same way that he was when he maybe started out. So he was saying it's tough for him to actually tell those stories. And I remember telling him, you're a storyteller, you know, you're not an autobiographical kind of proclaimer. You're not just here to tell us where you're at every stage in your development. You're here to tell the stories of the community you came from, because those stories are as valid as any about what's actually happening. And just because he's left doesn't mean that he doesn't have an agency in still describing what the struggle is, so that maybe people in the future can actually get the energy to continue the struggle and maybe kind of further their situations. And then he went in and recorded, you know, and started the process of getting the lyrics to the song.
And so now in live performance, it's your job to kind of play his part. But as I recall, I mean, you practice saxophone along to rappers all the time. So that's part of your practice, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've done for a long time. First, it was just practicing to hip-hop in general, hip-hop and electronic music, because I studied classical music in classical clarinet in the Guildhall School of Music, and I just got so tired of the metronome at some point in playing these etudes and repertoire that I decided, actually, I just need some form of music that has a consistent tempo, and I'll just practice to that, find a log of different tempos. Yeah, and you have people that are more or less conservative. Like, if you look at someone like E40, you know, he is the Eric Dolphy of hip-hop. You know, if you listen to Bone Thugs and Harmony in relation to that, you see that there's a completely different relationship to rhythm. If you look at Andre 3000, it's completely different. And then there are all those layers in between. Someone like Notorious B.I.G., you can see the jazz influence in terms of the accentuated kind of elements of the rhythm, like how he pops in and out of the bar line. And it's fascinating when you start seeing hip hop from the perspective of the relationship to the flow or the bar line.
Well, now all the titles on the record, when taken together, when strung together, make a single thought. So there's clearly a big idea driving this record. How would you explain that big idea?
It's very interesting. I've been thinking about this question a lot because it's the question that a lot of people ask. And I if it was a couple of months ago, I definitely know what I would have told you, but I'm not going to tell you right now because I'm going to be as truthful as I am to how I perceive the message in the present. The message is poetic. And I think that when I look truthfully outside of what's expected in interviews about what I was trying to do, I was trying to get the effect that poetry has on me, on the listeners, which is it's a space to explore ideas intuitively in whatever way the listener or the reader sees fit, considering their general knowledge that they bring to the words. So what those words of every track are supposed to do in conjunction with the music is open up a space of thought around the concepts of each word. And when you take the poem as one central, group of words, one central statement, and you listen to the album, hopefully you can add something broadens out. In terms of my own relationship with it, what it means is simply we have to consider African ontologies or African cosmologies going into the future, and we have to stay strong while doing it.
Yeah. Well, the last Sons of Kemet record, Your Queen is a Reptile, you talked about mythology, myth, and a community being able to make its own myths. So in that sense, this seems like a natural kind of extension of that earlier record. Does it feel that way to you?
It does, yeah, because actually, it's one thing saying we need to make our own myths, but actually, we need to have the ideological underpinning, a varied ideological underpinning to make sure that those myths are not just based on what we see immediately within our societies, that we're actually considering what are those cosmological worldviews of African, of traditional African thought. And the journey just opens up a way of seeing the reality that's more nuanced, more balanced.
We're speaking with Shabaka Hutchings from Sons of Kemet, the band playing a couple of songs for us from their new album called Black to the Future. Now, on the record, this next song, Pick Up Your Burning Cross, features Moore Mother, the Philadelphia-based composer, rapper, poet. I mean, she's a force of nature. How did you come across her?
I think it was just first someone was telling me about her. Someone was saying that you have to listen to this this vocalist, Moore Mother. And I remember hearing her, and the first thing that I thought was her, actually the same, very similar to Cody Radical. The first thing I thought was the sound of her voice is amazing.
Yeah.
The actual, in the way that when you hear an instrumentalist that has a great sound, you comment on that, you say that horn player has got an amazing sound. And actually that's all that's needed on one level. Actually, you can just listen to the sound of it and everything else can be secondary if you're in that level. But for me, it was that with her, in that as soon as I heard the sound of her voice, I thought, that is such a deep, resonant sound that she's creating. Paid the cost, don't defeat the crimes in my lies in my ghetto and a prize. How do you remember me? Don't you remember me? I was in the last place, lost a race. Oh my, yeah, yeah, yeah. Paid the cost, don't defeat the crimes in my lies in my ghetto and a prize. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Then in terms of her words and what she's speaking about and how she's able to collapse past and present and future into a real complex idea of what it is to be Black in America, or what it is to be multiple, what it is to be, Yeah, and I kind of met her when she came to London and did a residency at the ICA and a couple of times on the road, and we just kept in contact. So I just thought, you know, we need to have her on there.
Well, let's hear it. Pick Up Your Burning Cross is the name of it. The band is Sons of Kemet, and this is a live version of a song that appears on their new album called Black to the Future. Called Pick Up Your Burning Cross from Sons of Kemet. Live performance in London from Shabaka Hutchings on sax, Theon Cross on tuba, Tom Skinner and Edward Wakili Hick playing the drums. And Shabaka, you are just playing saxophone here, you know, in the studio. But on the record, there are layers and layers of wind instruments of various sorts, flutes and clarinets and saxophones. And how much of this was a product of being stuck at home during the pandemic?
Absolutely all of it. When we were in the studio recording the album, there was no fault about any of these woodwinds. But in listening to the album over in that lockdown period, one of the things I was thinking about a lot was the idea of depth, the idea of surface, and the fact of stuff beneath or adding dimension to unidimensional structures. So I'm listening to this music and realizing what we've recorded is fantastic, and it's, you know, as a group it could hold together, but is there anything I can do in all this time that's been afforded to me that would just add a level of perspective to the sounds that we already had? And that was my mission during the lockdown, try to find ways of listening to the tunes and trying to find, you know, what can I do subtly or not that just adds a level of depth to what we've already recorded, which makes me reconsider what the songs are.
Any other way in which the pandemic affected this record? I mean, was all the recording done before lockdown?
All the recording bar the flutes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the way that we recorded was that I gave the guys the initial kind of information that we are creative within. And then I told them what I wanted to happen was for us to only do like a maximum of 2 takes per tune, maybe 3 if we really need to, but with every tune, we play them for a long time. So it might be that the drums start for about 10 minutes, just playing with each other, getting a groove. Then Fionn comes in for as long as he needs to. Then I come in and we might play the melody many times or come back to it or do so, you know, have a real open structure for everything. And then in the post-production, we find the best bits and we kind of craft an album. So it's very much in that kind of Bitches Brew style where we record for long periods of time and then we try to really go in with the scissors in the in the kind of production.
Now, did you have the title and the individual track titles, you know, the big statement that makes up the record? Did you have that when you set out on this process?
No. When we start with all the records, actually, we don't generally have the titles of the idea of the record explicitly stated. And I say explicitly stated because to find the titles is a process, and to find the idea of the record is a process of looking back to what we were talking about and thinking about and what was just in the air, like what was on our minds at the period when we were recording, as opposed to being self-conscious about what we're going through and trying to put that into the music. We're just trying to true to the music itself and then trying to figure out actually what was, you know, the music isn't created just because of piecing bits of, you know, vocabulary together. It's created from the worldview and from the intellectual thought and spiritual motivation that happens because of what's around us at the time of writing and recording. So that's a give. If you take that as a given, then we don't have to be explicit about what we're doing. We just record the music and then look back to figure out how that music, where it came from.
So in fact, you don't go make nothing something, you make something into something else. There are things that you're experiencing, and then you make this music out of it.
Yeah, and it's deep because it means that there is never nothing. There's always something, but that something might assume different forms.
Yeah. All right, let's hear another of those forms that something assumed on the new record by Sons of Kemet. The song is called For the Culture. No DEE on this one, but he's a part of the version that's on the record. This feels to me, on the album at least, because of DEE and his what he's saying, this feels like a kind of mission statement.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, when you think for the culture, like it's for like what we're doing is for the culture, is for the greater cultural like backbone. It's not all about struggle. It's not all about battling oppression. There is actually a point where we're not thinking about those things. We're having fun. We're trying to actually lift our spirits. And when I hear this song, I really think back to when I was a teenager in Barbados, just in the dance hall, just kind of being free. And that's what the culture is about. It's about actually kind of raising our vibrational level and feeling that kind of sense of community and joyousness and, yeah, just being alive.
Let's hear a live performance of the song For the Culture from the band Sons of Kemet. For the Culture, song by the band Sons of Kemet. On the record, Black to the Future, D-double-E is the guest vocalist on that one, but the band playing an instrumental version. So, Shabaka, is this another instance where the instrumental music came first and then D-double-E came later?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The instrumental music came first, but we recorded it in the studio with him. We were actually doing this song on a couple of gigs before recording it. And funnily enough, this wasn't the original song that we meant for DEE when he came in. We actually wanted him to do something else, but he just wasn't really connecting with it. You know, you can tell that it was a struggle to do what we originally wanted him to do. So at some point I just thought, actually, listen to this song that we're going to record after you. And as soon as we started playing it, this massive smile came onto his face and he was like, I know what to do. So we were like, cool, let's do it. We went in and we just did one take, and that's what you hear on the album.
Wow.
She's not mountain at all. She's got my back to the wall. She made me nearly fall. She made me nearly look a fool. You gotta make a gal know. You gotta go with the flow.
Now, Sons of Kemet is just one of three bands that you lead. There's Chewbacca and the Ancestors, and The Comet Is Coming. Do you look to each of these bands for something different? Does each one give you something different?
Yeah, definitely, because the bands aren't, it sounds weird to say it, but the bands aren't bands. The bands are the individual musicians with their personal journeys and stories who comprise the bands. So when I get into these configurations, you know, then the people give me different energies. They inspire different reactions. When I play with Chewbacca and the Ancestors, who are all from South Africa, there is just a certain energy that's brought to our conversations, that's brought to our interactions on stage, then that's brought to how I compose the music for these specific musicians. The music isn't written in a way that any group could play anything. It's written specifically for the musicians.
And with Comet Is Coming, it's obviously a different kind of sound world, much more electronic.
It's much more electronic, and the other two members, Danalog and Betamax, come out of the dance and rave and experimental music scene in London. So that brings a completely different energy and a different source of inspiration. And as soon as, like, and also it's just a lot louder than any than Chewbacca and the Ancestors or Sons of Kemet.
So what's next? The album is out. When can you get back to touring?
So at the moment, there's supposed to be some festivals around the summer. We start on an Italian tour at the end of July and then go off into the autumn. But we just need to see what the deal is. But hopefully we'll be kind of touring imminently. Obviously, next year, everything should be relatively back to normal in that we're supposed to be coming to the States and just touring around Europe.
Well, I'll look forward to that. But in the meantime, Chewbacca, it's great to see you even in the little tiles like this. And congratulations on the record. Really wonderful job by the whole band on the record called Black to the Future.
Great. Thank you.
Watch the videos of these live performances that we just heard. They're on our website, newsounds.org, and on our YouTube channel. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our video editor is David McLean. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.